At this time, we introduce our speaker, Mr. John Primal. I'd like to say he's from England, but that was a long time ago, I guess, right? Right? Long time, yes. Long trip since he was in England. He's associated with Brother Harold Harper in the Rochester area for some time. And of late, he's been ministering down in the South as an evangelist and Bible teacher to Charlotte, North Carolina. So glad to have to turn the platform over to you at this time, Brother.
Joy to have the privilege this afternoon of coming together with you under the precious word of God and enjoy with you the prospects that in the will of the Lord may be before you in the enlargement of your new building. I humbly but earnestly pray that it will bring a great spiritual work for the Lord in your midst as you seek to go on for Him. I would like to read a psalm this afternoon, the 133rd psalm, one of the shortest psalms in the Word of God, written by the psalmist. Many of them we know are valued by every one of us, but it might be appropriate as we look at the meditation we can have from this psalm, we may receive a mutual blessing and encouragement to go on for the Lord. Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. May God bless the reading and hearing of His Word. We look humbly but completely in dependence to the Holy Spirit to give the ministry for our mutual edification. Many of you may have noticed that from Psalm 120 going down through Psalm 134, you have a title over every one of the Psalms so mentioned called a Song of Degree. Sometimes they are called a Song of Ascent. These particular Psalms were used by the pilgrim Jews when long ago the Israelites wended their way to the city of David, to Jerusalem, to keep the memorable feast that Jehovah had commanded. And how frequently as they journeyed, they sang these psalms as they ascended to Mount Zion and Jerusalem. And then also, I believe, it was often customary for the Levite priests to sing these psalms as they ascended the steps of the sanctuary of the temple of old to minister in the sanctuary for Jehovah. When you come to the end of these psalms, chapter 133 and chapter 134, they have without question of doubt a great dispensational meaning. They anticipate what someday, and may God grant it will be soon, what someday will be the messianic kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When the Lord Himself will be reigning at Jerusalem as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, when His people Israel will be exalted as a nation above all other nations, and from Jerusalem, the blessing of the Lord will go out to cover the millennial earth. What a grand day that will be. For it will be true of that time that all of Israel, the godly remnant, redeemed and restored, will dwell together in unity. And the blessing of Jehovah will be poured out upon them. And that blessing will fill not only the land, but also the whole earth. There's another wonderful application to the psalm that's precious to me. Going even future, more ahead than even the millennial kingdom. One thinks of that eternal scene that is found described in the book of the Revelation, chapter 21. When in the first 5 verses, you have the great eternal scene described. When there be a new heaven and a new earth, and when in that new heaven and a new earth, you have the new Jerusalem, God declares he will be dwelling in the midst of his redeemed people. God shall be their God. They shall be his people. What a wonderful time that will be. And may I rather correct myself and say, what a wonderful eternity. For there's no time in eternity. Praise the Lord. But what a joy it will be when the whole creation, the new heaven and the new earth, and the new Jerusalem, the metropolis of that new creation, will be filled with the blessings of God forevermore. But then there's another application we'd like to refer to. Coming down in practical application to our day, and to the present age in which we are now living, you may have noticed in the reading of the psalm, as the prophet David writes concerning the brethren, his God's people, dwelling together in unity, he describes it as being like the precious ointment, the anointing oil that was poured upon the head of Aaron at the consecration of Aaron and his sons long before. And how it pictures also for a believer today what happened upon the day of Pentecost, when the risen, ascended, and glorified Lord in heaven above poured out the Holy Spirit in the abundant measure and in the present relationship that is his upon the earth in the midst of the church. One can well recognize that in the blessings of the early church, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit from above, sent by the Father, sent by the Son, gave such blessings that you and I are able to read of in the early chapters of the book of the Acts. Then may I give a very practical, further practical application. I'm confident that it is the will of God and the purpose of his word that in every testimony, wherever there is an assembly of believers gathered together in a local capacity, God wants them to dwell together in unity, and in that precious manifestation of it, of that unity together, he will be able to pour out his Spirit in blessing and profusely encourage and also pour out the blessings that he has for his people to enjoy. For you and I today, we need not wait for the millennium, though we are looking forward to it. We need not wait for the new creation, though that we anticipate with joy. But in today, wherever there is a nucleus of believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, he desires, as we have read in our hearing from the responsive reading, the unity of his people to be manifested. Note what the psalmist says about it. How good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then he illustrates it by a wonderful illustration. He refers to the anointing oil that was divinely prescribed for the anointing of Aaron long ago and his sons the priests. He says it's like that unity, that manifestation of unity that is good, that is pleasant, is as fragrant, is like the precious anointing oil, for it reminded him of such.
that day when Aaron was anointed, and when the anointing perfumed oil was poured upon his head, ran down his beard, ran down his skirts to the very skirts of his garments, down to the ground. And I guarantee that Aaron was the sweetest smelling man that ever lived on the earth. For it was a fragrant anointing oil. And to the heart of God, it was precious. Now, why was it so precious to the heart of God? Why is it so precious to the heart of God when his people dwell together in unity? Well, beloved, that anointing oil, with its component parts, with the ingredients that God commanded should be used, that anointing oil spoke to the heart of God of the fragrant life and the fragrant character of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus. My beloved fellow believer, God wants to see, and may I kindly say and reverently suggest, he not only wants to see, but he wants to smell the fragrance of Christian fellowship amongst his people. Will you go with me in your Bible, if you have it with you, to the book of Exodus? Chapter 30 in the book of Exodus, please. I'd like you to look very briefly with me at the anointing oil when divinely prescribed by God through Moses to be so used many years ago. Chapter 30. Let me read from verse 22. And before reading, please may I say, with no apology, whenever I read in the Word of God, whether in the Old or the New Testament, his blessed revelation of truth, there is always the presentation from the beginning to the end of the Bible, the presentation of one glorious, great person, and that is the person of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the great doctrine of the book. And you may find him in type and shadow revealed in the Old Testament, and we know in reality when he came to the earth as we have it in the New. But Christ is revealed. For all these things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And God wants to show us Christ as he would have him revealed in you and through me. And in the ingredients of the anointing oil, every ingredient portrays some characteristic of his dear Son. That was why the anointing oil was precious to the heart of God. We believe what we find in chapter 30, beginning at verse 22, and we'll read through verse 25 only. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto thee principal, meaning chief spices, of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive or olive oil, an hin, and thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be and holy anointing oil. These words were the commandment of God through Moses for the manufacturing of the anointing oil that was used to be used only for the anointing of the priests and even the anointing of kings later on. And every ingredient was prescribed by God. May I point out a fact before we go further? When it comes to Christian fellowship, when it comes to the fellowship of believers upon the earth, you and I have no business prescribing what we should be and what we should do. In fact, you don't have to. All you need to do is follow the Word of God. God's written in the book what we ought to be, and God's written in the book what we ought to do. Please, may I say, Israel long ago was responsible only to carry out the Word of God as He gave it. Likewise, in our day, every assembled company of saints, wherever they gather, the church at large in the earth is responsible to carry out the Word of God. And I want you to say to my fellow young believers, you'll find in the Word of God how God wants you to live and what God wants you to be, as well as we older ones. Go by the book. You'll never smell sweeter for God than when you go by the book. You'll never be more fragrant for God than when you go by the book. The testimony of the assembly will never be more fragrant than when you're carrying out the commandments of the Lord, the precious Word of God. And it was God alone that prescribed the ingredients. Four of them particular ones. He called them principal spices. And please may I say, I believe God knows what's the best kind of spice. Men might have a different opinion, but let you and I realize God knows best. Now there were four of them. There was myrrh. And then as we have read, there was sweet cinnamon. And then, not only sweet cinnamon, but there was calamus, and then last of all, there was cassia. All of these were spices, fragrant spices, long ago prevailing and commanded to be used. Look at them with me separately, will you? And I want you to note with me, every one of them portrayed some character of the Lord Jesus that God saw in Him when He was upon the earth. And every one of them portrays the same character He wants to see in you and in me. First of all, you've got what Moses writes and tells us, pure myrrh. Now, how do you obtain myrrh? How was it obtained? It originated from the myrrh tree. And it was taken by an incision in the bark of the tree, and as the sap of the tree came out from that wound in the tree, it exuded, it came out in the shape of a tear. That's how it got its name, myrrh. And it distilled upon the bark in the shape of a tear. And that was the derivation of it. But I want you to note something. That here you have an expression, pure man. And may I suggest that in the Hebrew text, it suggests the meaning, myrrh of freedom. What's that mean? Well, beloved, this. The purest of myrrh came from the tree voluntarily. There was no need to make an incision in the bark of the tree, but it exuded of its own voluntary effort, and that was the purest of the myrrh. It had no need of an incision in the trunk of the tree. Now, beloved, I want you to think of the Lord Jesus. You probably remember that myrrh was associated with Him when He was on the earth. The wise men laid myrrh at his feet when they came to worship. When he was upon the cross, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with what? Myrrh. When Joseph and of Arimathea and Nicodemus buried him, they buried him with many spices and a bundle, 100-pound weight of myrrh. And myrrh was associated with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in his life. Now what did he speak to God about? It spoke to God of this, that in that blessed Son of his upon the earth, the Father saw perfect devotion and yieldedness to the will of the Father from the beginning to the end of his life. And that life of devotion from the manger to the cross and to the tomb was a fragrance that delighted the heart of God above. Now, beloved, let me say, it reminds us that you and I, who are believers, should devote ourselves and yield ourselves to do the will of God. Paul well wrote in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or intelligent service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. My beloved, may I say, unlike the Lord Jesus, one readily confesses, you and I need the knife. How God has to come with the knife and the incision of perhaps trouble, trial, difficulty, to make one yield himself and herself to do the will of God. But beloved, may I say, correlated together, in every assembly of believers, God wants to see each individual believer devoted, wholly devoted to do the will of God. That makes the fragrance that satisfies his heart and brings the blessing. But look at the next ingredient. Not only myrrh, but as we have read, sweet cinnamon. How was cinnamon obtained? Strange way that cinnamon as a spice was obtained. It came from the cinnamon tree. But how it was obtained was by the peeling of the bark from the tree. And it was from the inner rind, the inside rind of the tree, that the spice, the fragrant spice, was thus obtained. And did that speak to God of Christ? Beloved, look, there was not only the outward devotion to do the will of his Father in perfection, but there was the inward purity and holiness of his life. For when God looked at his beloved Son, he not only saw the perfect outward devotion of that Son of his love, but he saw the inward purity and holiness of his heart. For nothing ever sprang from his heart, from his mind in thought, and from his actions in deed, but what it was according to the perfect will of God, and in perfect holiness. And beloved, and in the life, my beloved, may I suggest, when you read of the offerings upon the Old Testament altars, go to the book of Leviticus, and particularly in chapter 1, read of the burnt offering, and it is being flayed and opened, and the very inwards were exposed for God to see as the offerer laid it upon the altar and slew the victim. So typical that our beloved Savior, not only in life but even in death, was the spotless, holy, harmless, spotless Son of God. My fellow believer, look, the fragrance of Christian fellowship not only requires your devotion and mind to do the will of God, but it requires holiness of life, practical sanctification. And oh, my beloved fellow believer, may I say, as I would to my heart more than yours, take care of the inner man. Take care of the inner man. For it's only out of what we are inwardly the Spirit of God is able to flow. Said the Lord Jesus, he that believeth on me, out of his inner being shall flow out rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit that should come. Now I want to say frankly, divine blessing can never flow from my life any more, any greater than the condition of my inward being. And oh, what God saw in Christ, the inward character of that holy person, fragrant. And my beloved, may you and I contribute the same kind of fragrance today. And then we have calamus. Now calamus was not a tree. Calamus was but a pith of a reed. It grew particularly in Tibet, and I think it can be found even in our country in the state of Pennsylvania. And it was a reed growing in a marshy place. And it had to be taken from the marshy place. And the obtaining of the spice was a very peculiar manner in which it was done. The reed had to be dried. And when the reed was dried, the weeds were dry, then the weeds were pounded and pounded and pounded and pounded. And it was out of the pounding of those reeds where spice was obtained. Does this speak of something in the life of Christ? Very definitely. It tells us of his humiliation. No person has ever been humiliated as much as the Lord Jesus Christ has when he was upon the earth. A good friend of mine many years ago told me, as he was confessing to me the complaints that he had made concerning another younger brother whom he had assisted greatly, but who he treated him at times. And in complaining about it, he told me how his blood pressure would go up, you know, and he'd get all upset, and he'd get disgusted with this young brother. And while complaining in front of another brother at the same time, this Christian man who also was listening said to him, after he finished his recital of his trouble, he said, "Doc, you haven't been crucified yet, have you?" My beloved brother, sister, look. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a slave, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. My dear brother and sister, the fragrance of humility is very precious. Many years ago, trying to help a brother who had been very much humiliated, and I felt very deeply wounded over the fact, though I knew he brought it on himself. And in seeking to counsel with him and sympathize with him, the first thing he said to me, he said, "Brother, don't worry about me." He said, "God's taken all pride out of my heart." And I thought this fellow's proud of his humility. Don't you ever say that. My beloved brother and sister, please let me say, Wouldst thou go up, go down? Wouldst thou be chief, then lowly serve? Wouldst thou go up, then go down? But go as low as you will. The highest has been lowest there. The Lord Jesus. My, we need more humble brothers, don't we? And humble sisters. The wonderful grace of humility. How it prevails. And you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus, we value our blessed Savior so greatly, perhaps more than any other way, when we look at him in his glorious humility. What a fragrance. My loving brother and sister, let me commend to you, take the lowly place. Last of all, you got cassia. Now cassia was obtained from the cassia trees, either from the rind or either from the buds of the tree, and the spice was obtained. We all know it to be a favorite spice in the Word of God, again and again mentioned. And may I please take, rather than speak of the tree, and speak of the way the spice was obtained as it was processed from the buds of the bark, may I speak of the meaning of the name cassia. When you read the 45th Psalm, you'll find that the name cassia is associated with the coming kingly glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes again to be the King of Israel and manifest his glory and his reign. And cassia is associated with the fragrance of his garments in that coming day of his glory and power. The word means literally in the Hebrew to cleave or to be faithful. To cleave or to be faithful. And is it not written, faithfulness is the girdle of his reins? Did he not say, I am the faithful and true witness? Is it not written that across him when he appears will be those words, faithful and true? And beloved, when you look at faithfulness, you see it in perfection in the blessed person of God's dear Son. And as the Father looked upon his Son in his life below, he saw the eagerness in perfection to do the Father's will. He saw the pure myrrh, and the fragrance of it delighted him. He recognized also the sweet cinnamon, the inward purity of his life. He recognized also the humility that was his, the lowliness of the man of Galilee. And he saw the fragrance of his faithfulness from the beginning to the end of his life to do the will of God. May I correlate these thoughts and say to you, my beloved brother and sister, that in the assembly of God's people, God wants to see the ingredients of that precious ointment. Some may have greater quantities of faithfulness, or even of humility, or even of inward purity, or even of devotion. Beloved, we need all. But I want you to notice something. These spices were taken, and as you have it in verse 24, if you please, together with these four spices, there was to be a gallon and one-fifth of olive oil, which was the measure of a hin. And then you have in verse 25, it was to be compounded after the art of the apothecary, and the oil was taken with the spices, and the spices were all mixed up in the oil, and as it was thus compounded, it made the liquefying anointing oil with its fragrance that God delighted in, that was poured upon the head of Aaron at the consecration to the priesthood. You know as well as I do, I'm sure, that the oil is the type of the Holy Spirit. And my beloved brother and sister, only the Holy Spirit can mix you and me together. Can mix you and I together. Here's a strange thing. We come from so many different nationalities oftentimes. We come from so many different parts of the country. We're from very different quarters of life. But God saves us. And by the Holy Spirit, He has placed us into the body of Christ. And the Holy Spirit, strange, but how precious. He can take redeemed people, no matter where they came from, but they found Christ. And He mixes them together as He forms the assembly testimony of saints upon the earth. All for the purpose of bringing out the fragrance of Christ. That's the fragrance we need. May I go with you again to the Psalm 133? I want to give you the application of all this very briefly and completely as you have it. In this psalm, listen to it very carefully. You'll read it right through from the beginning to the end once more. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious anointing oil upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment, came down as the dew of Hermon. You don't hear dew falling. As the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Now note the last phrase. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. My beloved brothers and sisters, the blessing that we long to see, the blessing that I'm confident your hearts here desire to see through the use of your facilities for the glory of God, that blessing is dependent upon you as well as upon me wherever I am. That your life and my life may be as the life of the Lord Jesus, exuding the fragrance of that anointing oil, that when God sees the saints dwelling together, manifesting these characteristics, He has to bless them. My beloved saints, take a good smell and realize how much we need to smell like Christ. More and more. Let me give you one word of warning. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1, the wise man wrote, a dead fly in the ointment of the apothecary causeth it to send forth a stinking savor. And you know my prayer is, I don't want to be a dead fly in the ointment, do you? Get the message. Keep the ointment clean. The anointing oil. So that the fragrance of Christ will ever be manifest. There, the Lord will command the blessing. My beloved saints, may I say, I pray with all earnestness, we'll all smell very sweet to the heart of God. Shall we pray? Father, we commend to Thee the blessing of Thy Word. We commend to Thee the blessing of Thy dear people. Are they not Thine own? Hast Thou not redeemed them by Thy great power? Blessed Lord, we say in the words of another, that each of us may truly fulfill them, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All of His wonderful passion and purity. All Thou Spirit divine, all my being refined, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. We ask it in His precious name for His glory. Amen.